Salam sejahtera, anda bersama saya Cynthia Ng dalam Agenda Awani. Dalam tempoh beberapa jam lagi, iaitu pada awal pagi Khamis, sebuah satelit baru Myasat 3D yang dibangunkan oleh Myasat Satellite System Sdn Bhd akan dilancarkan dari French Guiana untuk menyokong pelan jalinan digital negara atau JENDELA. Dan bersama saya hari ini untuk membincangkan pelancaran ini dan juga apakah signifikasinya pelancaran Myasat 3D ialah pengerusi PIKOM Persatuan Industri Komputer dan Multimedia Malaysia, Dr. Sean Siah. Welcome Dr. Siah to Agenda Awani. Just a quick introduction of yourself. Not only the chairman of PIKOM, the National Tech Association of Malaysia, Dr. Siah is also the co-founder and chairman of Angkasa X, a space tech company in Malaysia. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you very much.
As I mentioned briefly, we will witness a momentous occasion. In just a couple of hours, a new Myasat satellite will be launched, the first one in 8 years, the most advanced. Can we just kickstart that conversation about just how significant is Myasat 3D to improving connectivity, especially in Malaysia?
Well, thank you very much. Just the mention of that, it gives me goosebumps. Okay, after 8 years, we are launching again, back to space. Again, the significance is now we have a new satellite, HTS, high throughput satellites, that will last for the next 18 years. So again, that will give a lot of opportunity for us to roll out rural connectivities, which is we need that for the rural area, and particularly for the countries in the area in Sabah, Sarawak, Brunei, Borneo Islands. I think this is going to be very exciting, okay, for the next phase of space tech development for the nation. And again, coming from PIKOM, coming from my own company, Angkasa X, we are focusing and promoting Buatan Malaysia satellites. Again, I'd like to see more of that happen in Malaysia. More and more companies felt that or believed that their technology can be space worth. And I think this is a start of the giant momentous step forward. I look forward to see that happen in the next couple of hours.
We certainly look forward to that. In fact, if I can just give our audience a brief background about what is going to happen in a couple of hours. The Ariane 5 rocket, which will be carrying Myasat 3D satellite, will launch from Europe's Guiana Space Centre spaceport in Kourou, French Guiana. It is targeting a 1 hour and 40 minute window that opens at 5:03 p.m. local time, and Astro Awani will be bringing the action to you live from Kourou as well as from KL. Our coverage starts at 4 a.m. So please stay tuned for that very exciting event. I want to go back to the Myasat 3D and capabilities-wise in terms of connectivity. You mentioned there is a lot of emphasis about rural connectivity, especially with this satellite particularly. Just how much capabilities can you expect from this to really improving connection to remote areas, especially in Sabah and Sarawak?
First of all, I want to applaud the Myasat team for making this possible. I think this is going to be a significant step forward to provide more and more connectivity to the rural area. Again, the previous satellites that we have, the limitation is the bandwidth that can provide, okay, the total bandwidth can provide to the rural area. With these new satellites, I think it will create a lot more opportunity for the rural area community, populations, to have a chance to actually connect to the internet, to connectivity, and also to get more content from the space. Again, I believe, okay, the technology of this will be eventually become more mature, and the rollout of this connectivity applications for the rural area will increase tremendously.
Okay.
I look forward to more applications to it.
Give us a sense. If I'm a user, let's say in Sarawak or Sabah, Myasat 3D, once it's up in the orbit, how would I feel the impact? You know, what kind of impact will I get, or let's say, on using internet at home?
Well, first of all, you will get more stable connectivity, okay, and faster connectivity. Okay, bandwidth is bigger. Okay, you can support more users. Okay, that's what new technology is all about. Okay, and also hopefully, by the cost of by the more user, okay, they will drive down the cost as well. And reliability is important for any internet user. Again, you don't want to log in and then get logged out. So reliability is important. And also, I think with deep increase our performance of the satellite, the high performance satellite, HDS, that will actually create more users that allow to log into the satellite concurrently.
Okay.
I look forward to supporting more users, and more users will actually enjoy using it as to achieve the digital promises.
Okay. Well, a lot about Miyaza 3D already, but I do want to talk about the ecosystem as a whole, because you mentioned Watan Malaysia. Many may not know that Malaysia has been involved in building satellites for over 2 decades already, starting from Tiongsat in early 2000, and then we had the Razaksat in 2009, I believe, Dr. Siah. But there's not much discussion or conversation or awareness about our capabilities. And I think this is where what we want to talk about today is really to understand what do we have right now and how can we be more aggressive in taking part in this space tech race, which is heating up globally. You know, we've heard Elon Musk wanting to launch 42,000 of a low orbit
low Earth orbit
or LEOs around the world. Jeff Bezos of Amazon has indicated the same. But what about Malaysia? Where do we stand?
I think Malaysia stay at a perfect position, okay, to capitalize on the entire opportunity that space tech industry will give us in the next 10 or 20 years, or even longer than that. Well, for the audience to know, the next 10 years, okay, the research has shown this is a 10 trillion market. Mm-hmm. Okay, globally. And Malaysia, since 2000, okay, thanks to the previous administrations, we have started focusing on developing our own, designing and developing our satellites. These are low Earth orbit, small satellites. And we launched the first one, okay, in 2000, Tiongsat, as I said, and 2009, Razaksat. These are a group of people, okay, company called ATSB. Okay, they actually pioneer in the early days to design and launch our satellites. In fact, a few of these so-called experts are still in Malaysia, because once, okay, 2009 onwards, when we last launched our Razaksat, okay, that satellite went to orbit in the equatorial orbit for briefly a few years, but subsequently, okay, we have stopped the entire investment into the space tech. But the talent that we have in Malaysia is supersede any country in Southeast Asia. Imagine Malaysia has the talent to build and launch our satellites. Our engineers, our Malaysia, rugged Malaysia, can build satellite for the UAE government, can launch satellite for the Japanese company. So these are all our talent. From previous to now, all this talent, with the rise of the needs for satellite connectivity, particularly what you mentioned, Elon Musk, so-called low Earth orbit connectivity that provide 30 to 50 millisecond latency that's suitable for e-commerce, suitable for autonomous car tracking, suitable for other payloads such as AIS, ship logistic tracking, Earth observation. All these are new applications that the low Earth orbit satellite promises. And Southeast Asia country with 660 million population, all these are new applications that we can sell to this country in Southeast Asia and beyond. I think this is going to be the single largest so-called opportunity for Malaysia to should bet on, because this is going to be very big, not only for the nation, but only for the entire world that actually eventually will rely on satellites.
I do want to get into that, building that ecosystem in Malaysia and becoming the space tech hub in the region for ASEAN. But if you can indulge me just a couple of minutes just to answer some really, really basic questions about low Earth orbit or LEO satellites and geosatellite, which is what Miyaza 3D is. Can you explain that to our audience, the difference in terms of connectivity, speed and usage?
Yes, I can. LEO satellite stands for low Earth orbit satellites. Okay, it actually is a smaller satellite. Okay, for remote sensing satellite, low Earth orbit satellite is only about 20 kilograms or so. But communication satellite for low Earth orbit, such as Starlink, is about 220 kilograms. So the size and difference. But this satellite will be launched into an orbit that's about 400 to 500 kilometers away from the surface of Earth. From the range of 500 to 2,000, these are considered low Earth orbit. Okay, By doing so, because it's very near to Earth, this satellite needs to travel at about 26 to 27,000 kilometers per hour in a group of satellites. Mm. Okay, this is low Earth orbit satellite, LEO. Their latency, if it's for communication internet, is about 30 to 40 milliseconds, and it's suitable for a lot of applications. Geosatellite, geosynchronous, is about 36,000 kilometers away from Earth. And these are big satellites in the multiple tons. Okay, so these are the satellites for best suitable for streaming of content because it can cover the world by using three satellites. And again, the latency is a bit higher, but it's perfect for communication in the rural area, content streaming, and also some broadband communications. Again, both technology complement each other because in the rural area, some want to watch a streaming of content, you can use geo streaming. But if you want to use connectivity for internet commerce, then you may want to use LEO connectivity. But if you drive a car, autonomous car on the highway on 120 kilometers per hour, you need to rely on a LEO so-called connectivity because the latency is much shorter.
So it's essentially complementing each other, the LEOs,
different functionalities,
and the GEOs, as well as the existing 4G and fiber network that we have in Malaysia. I believe overall is to fill up those holes in the connectivity blanket in the country and also in the region. Okay, thank you for that wonderful explanation. I think our audience has perhaps a better grasp of what is LEOs and GEOs. We've been talking about it quite a bit. I want to go back to Malaysia's development in the satellite industry. Talking about satellite buatan Malaysia, just how far along are we in actually becoming a more significant player in the development or the supply chain development of satellites for the region? And when you talk about the potential that we have, and we have the talent as well, but what's hindering us to step up and take a bigger slice of the pie, of the space type pie?
Very good question. I think we are ready to launch our first buatan Malaysia satellites in the next 6 to 9 months, depending on the submission to ITU. In order to secure an orbit to launch a satellite, you need to be a member of ITU, stands for International Telecommunication Union, ITU. They govern all the orbital slot allotment to any company, any countries in the world, and they are governed by United Nations. So for Malaysia to be in this game, we need to have the support from the government, the support from the various agency, to believe that Malaysia, there are companies have the capability to design the satellites for us. As I said just now, if we look back into the 20 years ago, okay, this group of satellite engineers are still Malaysian. They are still working, they can still design satellite and launch for us. What we need to do is to create the ecosystem. Space tech is an ecosystem. It's basically an extension of an ecosystem from the computer. It's a computer, it's a CPU, it's a that kind of thing. But the thing is, it has to be, we call it space worth. It has to be able to launch into the space, operate in the 6 to 8 years kind of time frame and the minimal, and also has to be strong enough, okay, in terms of radiation, in terms of all kinds of shielding. So the point is, there is a lot of Malaysia companies have the technology, but there's no way to know their technology whether can put on a satellite. So what we intend to do as a so-called community, we like to actually invite more E&E companies, more companies with technology, to find out whether their technology meet the spec of a component they put into the satellites.
Okay.
So by doing so, the last 8 months to 12 months, we have actually identified a handful of companies with the technology that go to our satellites. So the buatan satellites, the buatan Malaysia satellite that we built, we will have Malaysia components that go into it. Not only is designed by Malaysians, but also the components that make in Malaysia goes in there. So it actually is designed in Malaysia, assembled in Malaysia, and we get a launcher to launch it.
What is the realistic time frame for us to launch this low Earth orbit satellites?
Well, we have actually contract, okay, a launcher, okay, but again, we are not the major payload for this launching. It may delay, okay, a few months, but it will be in the next 6 to 9 months.
Okay, and this is very significant for us, clearly, but is this going to be a game changer in connectivity for Malaysia?
Well, the first satellite that we launch in the next 6 to 9 months is going to be a remote sensing satellite. Okay, on the contrary, a lot of people focus on using satellite for connectivity, such as internet. Mm-hmm. But equally important, we need to have satellite in the space with camera that can surveillance our country, which part is being so-called attack, okay, where is the national security. So the national security, national sovereignty become very important. We need to rely on our own satellite to govern our own national security, national sovereignty. So that is the Earth observation. Okay. Of course, I know we have we are living in Straits of Malacca, a lot of ships tracking, logistic tracking, AIS. So these are the two functionality, we call it payloads, which is Earth Observation AIS, will be launching in the next 6 to 9 months.
Okay.
Our communication satellite will launch in year 2024. That will provide internet connectivity.
Speaking of remote sensing, I believe the RazakSat was intended to do that,
it
correct?
Is.
And I believe it also ran into some issues, some problems after the launch in 2009. I think what happened was it did not fully achieve what it had set out to do. On that note, what are some of the lessons learned since then? I mean, now that we are moving towards deep tech, deep space, and what are lessons that we could learn from our previous projects that you think could help us in the future?
Well, one thing that really stick up is the so-called, we need to have more international collaborations.
Okay.
Technology advancement so fast. Okay, the three countries in the world that actually have advanced tremendously in space technology are the China, the Russian, and the US. These are the countries with a lot of technology that we should partner with them. Just like the Proton experience, we do not need to manufacture the engine, but we can license the engine and build our own car. I think for satellite, for space technology, it's similar.
Okay.
License the core technology, proven technology out there that can last for a few years in the space, work with those providers. The second thing is we need to make sure that there is plan, continuous plan, to actually continue to launch satellites. It's not one-off. A lot of people believe that, oh, I launched one and then I didn't wait for the next 10 years. But launching LEO satellite is an annual thing. Every year in our plan, we launch multiple satellites. So you will be seeing multiple rocket launches in the next, once we start launching our satellite. So that is important, have that investment. I think the last thing I want to say that, believe that Malaysia can do it. Okay, if we have started our satellite engineering back in 2009, we launched our satellites. That is before Elon Musk even talking about Starlink. Elon Musk started Starlink in 2014. We started way before them. We have what it takes.
I think that leads to my next question, you know, to leapfrog, right? I mean, and not just be happy with one launch, hey, okay, we're done, that's it. And just really to support that ecosystem and to continuously build on it. I think that's what more support is needed. Perhaps?
Support from multiple angles. I think government can support from a policy point of view. Okay, and policy means to make company easier to attain ITU membership, to apply for orbits. Because again, once these orbits apply by a Malaysia company, it belongs to Malaysians. It belongs to Malaysia government, the country. So again, the support from regulator point of view to get more so-called policy to actually facilitate that applications of orbit, I think that's one thing. Second thing is to the MIDA of the world, the agency of the world, to facilitate more companies, E&E companies, to venture into investment of the technology for space technology. Again, it is new. It is a lot of incentive the government can put forward to promote that. The last thing which I always want to say is that it needs money.
Mm-hmm.
Malaysia invest a lot of money in terms of connectivity. I believe satellite connectivity will be a key component for any connectivity that available in the next decade or two. And Malaysia must take advantage of that.
The race to capture the orbit.
the race to capture the orbit and the race to capture users in ASEAN.
Okay.
The connection is ASEAN connectivity, not just Malaysia alone. But our vision is to build connectivity for thousands or millions of users in ASEAN.
Okay. Now, we have a couple of minutes left. I do want to talk about the open skies. You mentioned privacy, security, sovereignty of technology. I mean, if you talk about regulation of technology, it is already a question now. I mean, with tech giants, so much discussion. You know, Europe, you know, they are coming up with new regulations to try to put some form of control on tech giants. And clearly, internet itself is not controlled by states. What more in space when there are thousands of satellites? So I do wonder about the implications for the sovereignty and national security of states with us putting satellites in space and all the other countries as well. How do we safeguard our interests?
I think first of all, Malaysia have to have the policy. I think the Space Act and the Space Board, the bill that come out by Malaysia, MISA, mostly, is the first step forward to govern the entire industries. I think the second point is we need to understand the space, the skies, you know, our skies are open for everyone. Okay, American can see it, everybody can see it. But again, seeing it and landing is a different issue. Okay, the country has to allow the satellite signal to land at the country. So that is the governing. The government has to have the policy to govern which provider can actually provide the services to the population in that country. That leads to national security. Mm-hmm. Again, if a company come to Malaysia operating their so-called satellite broadband without governing by the Malaysia government, there's no other ways to govern them. So it is problem you're making. Basically, they can do all kinds of things. We cannot stop them.
Okay. How do we balance this then? Because, you know, we talk about Starlink, Elon Musk. Its satellites are expected to open up connectivity to about 3.5 billion people who have no access yet. And it's very important, even as a nation, to have to give that access, connectivity access, at the same time to protect our sovereignty and also our interests.
Well, I think government has to step in. Every satellite broadband provider must be governed by the government. It's just like telco. Every telco is governed by the government. Okay, AT&T was the telco of the world many years ago, but its history has proven there's no AT&T. AT&T monopolized the world. AT&T become a technology provider. Then we have our Cellcom, we have our DG, we have our Maxis, because the technology provider can provide technology for country to provision a service. Similarly, we are saying we are also working, we can work with SpaceX, bring the technology here, build the satellite communication services for the nation in Southeast Asia, then we work together to govern that. So the technology, we welcome technology transfer, but I hope that we see that there are rooms to work together rather than we bring in a provider, just like we bring in Toyota, and then next thing, everything is Toyota. We don't see Proton anymore. So I think that is the open market, open policy that we welcome every company to work with us in Malaysia.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Siah. Just one final question, just about a minute left. I'm just wondering, how do you envision wireless communications in the coming years, especially with more deployment of the low Earth orbit satellites and all these in the geo satellites? How would it look like? You know, can I make a call connecting to the LEO satellites at a much lower cost? I'm just trying to get a sense of how things might change with all that's happening in space tech.
I think the future lies beyond so-called you can be connected everywhere you go. Okay, today you drive on a highway, certain spot you might lose your connectivity. You're out in the mountains, you cannot be connected. You are in the sea, you cannot be connected. But what LEO satellite promise, you can get connected everywhere you go. Okay, I think cost-wise is up to the operator. Okay, Starlink is charging $99 if you times 4.5 is close to a few hundred ringgit, 400 to 500 ringgit. Again, that cost structure may not be relevant, for Malaysia user. I personally think any of these LEO satellite services must be something affordable. if you want to sell it to the rural area. Okay, I mean, anything more than 10 US, 20 US dollar to the rural area, I think is very expensive.
So my final question to you, will a Buatan Malaysia LEO satellite be more affordable than what's to be offered by others?
Well, definitely, definitely. Okay, and because we use a lot of local components, and we not only being affordable for the user locally, we create jobs.
Right.
And we will surely attract foreign direct investment into the country once we have a mature space technology ecosystem in Malaysia.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Siah, for spending some time with me to talk about the development of space tech in Malaysia. Kepada audiens kita, saksikan siaran langsung pelancaran Mirasat 3D yang kami akan bawakan bermula 4 pagi di saluran Astro Awani dan juga live stream astroawani.com. Sekian sahaja agenda Awani untuk malam ini. Saya Siti Eng, salam hormat.